Do you remember the last time that you had fun, like really had fun on the internet?
I don't know if anybody else is noticing this, but the internet just feels like a really strange place right now. Very toxic, odd, uninspirational. Is that a word? It's just like not good vibes here.
We are literally living in a digital renaissance right now. And I say that because the internet and reality are no longer two separate spaces.
We are no longer making active choices when it comes to the culture and media that we consume. Spotify, Apple Music, Netflix have began to tell us what to engage with.
Algorithms are a complete mystery to most of us on the outside, a black box. You know, we know they're recommending videos or targeting ads, but how are our algorithms influencing us in ways that we are completely unaware of?
How do you know what you like? How do you know who you are if you have always had an algorithm telling you what to like and who to be and who everyone else is?
Let them eat cake.
There's a widespread, unsettled feeling about life right now. It's as if we're on the cusp of something, we just don't know what that something is. This sentiment seems closely tied to the integration of technology into our lives, particularly how the internet doesn't feel good anymore. Many are comparing the 2020s to an episode of Black Mirror, where social media is steadily consuming more hours of our day to the point that we're spending more time online than we are offline. And this isn't just a North American problem either, it's a global phenomenon, with 63% of the total global population being social media users. If social media had a net positive effect on our lives, then this wouldn't be concerning. But as time goes on, we feel more and more of our autonomy being stripped away from us and replaced by an algorithm that claims to know us better than ourselves. These same algorithms that promise personalization have in reality created a never-ending cycle of trends and trap us in an echo chamber of dull but addictive content. The internet, once celebrated for connecting diverse cultures, is now blending said cultures into a monotonous same breaking them down into their lowest common denominator as the algorithm optimized for engagement. And so late stage social media has entered the chat, and we're going to talk about it. How algorithms have infiltrated every corner of our lives, giving us an illusion of choice, and how we've plateaued as a culture, unable to move forward. First, let's take a trip back to the golden age of social media. This, of course, being in the late 2000s, early 2010s, when everything was, say it with me, in chronological order. Back when social media was actually social and we used it to connect with our family and friends. For the first time ever, you could keep in touch with that one person you met at band camp instead of them falling into the abyss of childhood missed connections. The posts we saw during these times were arguably very cringy, as we were just sharing our raw, unfiltered lives to our close friends and family. We shared everything from our hangouts with our friends to our breakfasts and just our daily thoughts. As we remember, our statuses used to be written in third person as your name followed by a verb. Super weird if you did that now.
Do you guys remember when you could just check social media instead of doom scrolling because you couldn't doom scroll? Like, there was a time where you could just open up Instagram and the things on your feed, you would scroll and see everything everyone had posted since the last time you had been on there, and then you would hit like the top of the last time you were there because it was chronological and you had seen everything.
What we didn't know was that this would all be changing soon, and what was once a system curated based on our follows would be taken out of our control and into the hands of big tech bros who now are showing us what we want to see. This, of course, was by the integration of algorithmic systems. Now, we all know that social media is run by algorithms. It's particularly all-encompassing to aspiring influencers as we pray to the algorithm gods to bless us with views. But something you may not have picked up on is that basically everything we do these days involves algorithms. Starting with the most obvious, our music streaming services like Apple Music and Spotify, or the more cringy YouTube Music. Don't ask why I use it. I don't usually tell people. They all use an autoplay feature that guesses what song you want to listen to next based on your previous listens. Then there are show streaming services like Netflix and all the others. Instead of being overwhelmed by seeing all of the movie and show options, Netflix presents you with a curated list of things it thinks you want to watch. Going even deeper into it, though, even our method of transportation is dictated by algorithms, as they, of course, pick your best route so you don't have to navigate your way through the city. Even if you want to take out a loan, no need to talk to a representative. They'll just punch your information into the system, and it tells you how much you're approved for. Last example, but a classic, all the spam emails you get that you used to have to manually delete, no longer a problem, as they automate spam removal and put it in nice little folders for you that you will never open. Basically, in today's day and age, algorithms are incorporated into every aspect of our lives that we can fit it to try and make our day-to-day easier, in the hope that they can guess what we're thinking or wanting even before we know it. Now, this all seems peachy on the surface, as we love to just wash our hands. I'm trying to do a wash our hands motion with only one hand. As we love to wash our hands from these menial tasks that take mental energy. Doing these things by yourself requires you to go out and find what you like, whether that's from a bookstore, a group of friends, or an online forum. Without the algorithm, you would have to navigate your own route, butter up the bank teller, or actually organize your inbox for the first time in your life. No thank you. Point being, it all takes intentionality. Intentionality we would love to offload to someone else because we have enough things to worry about. But the truth is, the integration of these algorithms wasn't just for our benefit. In fact, the primary incentives of incorporating algorithms don't even take into account what's good for us. A common problem in the age of algorithms is only being exposed to your own echo chamber of media, where we only receive news that caters to our own biases. An example of this is how we saw a lot of Democrats taken aback when Trump won the election, because in their own online realm, there was no chance that he should have won. And experiences like these are the reason why I use today's sponsor, Straight Arrow News. Straight Arrow News is an unbiased news source that specializes in fact-based reporting. Their news is delivered without filter or spin, with a focus on delivering both sides of the story. For many stories, you'll see on the right side their bias distribution table, where you get the overall bias of who's reporting on the story and which side of the political spectrum they lean. My favorite part about Straight Arrow News is the Media Mist tool. Here they spotlight which stories left or right-leaning outlets aren't covering. This means you don't miss out on any news that otherwise you wouldn't have seen. I really appreciate this because it helps me get outside of my own personalized algorithm on the internet and to see what's actually going on in the world. So if you would also like to see through the agendas of other news sources, check out Straight Arrow News using my link in the description. When you use my link, you're not only supporting me, but all the journalists that are raising the bar for news and prioritizing serving truth. Thank you to Straight Arrow News for sponsoring today's video. Now let's get back to social network incentives. You've probably already guessed it, but the corporations that run our social media networks are only really focused on their bottom line, and algorithms are the best way to optimize it. As they say, capitalism will capitalize, or at least that's what I say. And the biggest thing that algorithms are focused on is the attention economy. And a lot of people have been saying lately that the term social media isn't very accurate anymore because these platforms are more focused on marketing.
I miss the internet. I know I'm on the internet. I miss what the internet used to be before it was ruined by three things, phones, algorithms, and work. Internet used to be an active activity because it was a blank slate. You had to sit down, open it up, and go find something to entertain you. And now the algorithm just shows you what it thinks you want to see. I don't even think it's just social media that's made things worse, because like, this to me is not social media. Like, I'm not talking to my friends and family right now. I'm talking to like people I don't know, people that are here because of an algorithm. Social media doesn't exist anymore because of algorithms, because they're not showing you your family and friends. They're showing you newness because the algorithms rely on newness to keep you scrolling.
The problem with social networks is that their shareholders require constant growth to sustain themselves. And this means that making the same profit every year is actually a failure, even if you're making millions of dollars. And this is why social networks are just not focused on connection anymore when their priority is growth. And what drives more growth and more profit? More attention.
They're coming for every second of your life. That's what these companies are coming to. This company as well. And it's not because anyone is bad. It's not because anyone in this company has evil plans or is trying to do this. They're not even doing it consciously. It's because these companies like Twitter and YouTube and Instagram, everything, they went public and they went to shareholders. So they have to grow. Their entire models are based off of growth. They cannot stay stagnant. Twitter grossed $4-5 billion last year. It is in the red. It is unprofitable. It has to get more of you. We used to colonize land. That was the thing you could expand into, and that's where money was to be made. We colonized the entire earth. There was no other place for the businesses and capitalism to expand into, and then they realized human attention. That we can now, they are now trying to colonize every minute of your life. That is what these people are trying to do.
If a social media company can keep a user online longer than before, more ads can be shown to them. This provides more appealing metrics to those wanting to purchase ads, with social media companies boasting views on their site as a selling point. And this is how we found ourselves in an era of social media where quantity of content wins, not quality. That's why we see so many TikTokers saying to aspiring influencers to just post every day as much as you can, and you'll eventually find success. It doesn't matter what you post, just that you're posting. Content that is easy enough to consume, short enough to hold your interest, and not aggressive enough to throw you off is the perfect recipe to keep you mindlessly engaged and just not thinking too much. This shift from interest-driven content to attention-driven content means that the priority is just whatever holds people's eyes the longest. Attention becomes the only metric by which culture is judged, and whatever gets attention is dictated by equations developed by Silicon Valley engineers.
If they wanted to ban TikTok, they would have been banned TikTok. But they don't want to ban TikTok. They want TikTok. The stipulation is not on January 19th, we're going to ban TikTok. The stipulation is on January 19th, we're going to ban TikTok unless it's sold to an American company, because data is the new oil.
Now, to clarify about TikTok, because I feel like it often gets villainized in these conversations, I don't hate TikTok, but it is the worst app for addicting us. Specifically, the way it feeds us content is corrupt, manipulative, and just bad for us. But there is still a lot of good on the app despite this. The platform gives the average person a voice with such a low barrier to entry. All you need is a phone and you can start posting. And this means it's easier to connect with people on this app because you can go out and find people going through the same stages of life or dealing with the same problems. It's just the way the app is run that's the problem. You probably already know my bias on it because I love putting TikToks in my videos. It helps expand the conversation beyond myself and show what people who actually deal with these things are saying. It's also such an interesting time for me to come out with this video when TikTok is potentially going to be banned in January. So we'll see where that goes. But I just want to say that it's not all evil, even though it has a bad reputation. Point being, these companies set up their platforms in a way where they don't really care at all what we talk about, just that we keep talking and keep looking. As we can see from the financial incentives of social networks, algorithms aren't supposed to be an extension of ourselves. Rather, they take away our autonomy and feed us whatever they see fit in the most seamless and inconspicuous way.
Listen, you hear that? You hear that? That is the sound of Mark Zuckerberg listening to you through your phone.
The user experience of today's platforms tend to be overwhelmingly passive. You're not supposed to look under the hood too much, just consume what's already in front of you. Theoretically, the algorithm knows you better than you know yourself. Now, that might seem a little dramatic when we're talking about Google Maps just taking you to the grocery store, but it does go deeper than that. Spotify, for example, when serving you a song suggestion, isn't expanding on your taste in music. They just show you what's most popular in the categories we listen to and hope that we bite. Netflix does the same thing. It doesn't show you niche, unique movies that fit into your taste. They just promote movies that they've spent thousands of dollars getting the rights to or making in hopes to make that money back from your viewership. They even have algorithms woven into their artwork personalization to show you a thumbnail that's in line with your preferences of movie genres and try and get you to watch a movie that you would otherwise not be interested in. Going back to navigation systems, they're also, of course, focused on their bottom line, which is dependent on people using their app, and so they'll just pick the quickest route to your destination, whether that means redirecting people through congested, quiet neighborhoods or cutting others off and skipping the line. As a side note, I've been using Google Maps for years and loving it, I guess, as much as you can love a navigation system. And it's been going haywire lately. I don't know. Tell me if you've also been experiencing this, but it's telling me to do like loop-de-loops in intersections, and I'm driving in neighborhoods that I'm like never in, and it's dark and rainy, and I'm supposed to just like literally drive through a median. I don't know what's going on, but I think I need to switch to Apple Maps because I might die one of these days if I listen to those instructions. Anyways, but with banking algorithms, we are no longer able to form relationships with the teller or bank manager who know our spending habits and character and are able to base our interest rates and eligibility on that. Nope, everything is plugged into a system that uses machine learning to dictate who gets loans or not. So if your numbers don't fall into a certain category, you're SOL. Point being, these algorithms couldn't care less about us. It's so funny that they even label their curation as for you when it's really for their own agenda. All of this data is employed by invisible algorithms, silently nudging us towards the behaviors that yield the greatest commercial value for their creators. From targeted ads to gamified environments that incentivize oversharing or what amounts to gambling with one's time and resources, platforms work hard to position their users in the way to make them the most money. Interestingly, the process that the algorithm uses to steal our attention is also flattening our culture.
Everyone eats, reads, and wears their algorithms nowadays. I also think we could add everyone smells like their algorithms nowadays. Anyways, it really got me thinking about how much control what we scroll has on our lives outside of the digital space. And because algorithms can be so strong, we kind of all end up consuming the same type of content and not really finding anything new or exciting or interesting online anymore.
This is because the algorithm rewards content with high retention rates, and so it will push similar content based on what's worked in the past. And this is how we found ourselves in a world of reruns and repeats in every aspect of our media. On TikTok, a lot of what we see is everyone following the same trends, using the same music and doing the same dances, but with slight variances. On YouTube, everyone is retention focused, where they only care about viewers watching more and more of the video. So they edit in a way to chemically trick your brain to keep watching, even if it's something that you don't care about. This constant flow of similar content is also to blame for our movie remake epidemic, where we're bombarded with a million Avengers movies, remakes of Full House, Friends Reunion, Clone Wars, the list goes on. Instead of making new amazing movies and shows that progress the industry, executives just stick to what they know has already been successful and they don't waver from it. Not to say that all remakes are bad. Josh and I are just finishing up Arcane Season 2, which isn't a remake, but it's like based on a video game, so it's like not an original idea, but oh my god. That show is so good. The artwork, the music, that's the exception in this case. Moving on, Spotify and every other music platform does the same thing, where they eventually bring you back to the top 100 songs. Because if most people liked it, you'll like it too. This is something I found so frustrating, is that when I shuffle an artist, it's because I want to hear their whole discography, but they just show me their top singles, and I don't even get to hear those more unique, obscure songs. These recommendations systems are what's halting cultural progress, as they've sped up cycle trends to the point that they impede organic cultural development. Whatever is most shareable gains traction and overtakes any other option. By continuously presenting products and ads based on past interactions and preferences, these systems create a feedback loop that narrows the scope of exposure to new choices. This self-reinforcing cycle can lead to a homogenization of consumer experiences, where exposure to diverse products is limited and the discovery of new, innovative, or niche items is reduced. Our feeds are made to inspire quick, superficial engagement, but passive enough to continue consuming without breaking concentration. If the content doesn't make you think too much about what you're consuming, then you don't need to worry about whether it fits you or not, because it's ambient enough to be digestible to all. But with this, we're missing the depth that's required to progress culture. Uniqueness is an ephemeral product that gets seized on by algorithmic recommendations, recommended more and more until whatever was unique or special about it is either ruined or becomes cliche. And so we've arrived to a point where we don't really know ourselves or our true interests, because it's all being force-fed to us. We don't have a way of knowing what our real music taste is if we're only being served the top 100 songs. We don't know our favorite genre of film when Love Island is the only thing being shoved down everyone's throats. How are we supposed to know what our fashion sense is when we have new trends every month and they homogenize into the same blend of all the decades. We don't even have a 2020s culture because it's a hodgepodge mix of every era before this. And when everything is trending all at once, we create a melting pot of identity crisis. On the note that we rarely see anything new anymore, it also is starting to feel like we're not seeing anything real anymore. To get into that, let's talk about our favorite app, Facebook. It's unbelievable that Facebook is still around when it's just a bundle of ad overwhelm mixed with anger-inducing spammy content. But now with the added power of AI. AI is seeping into all platforms, but is really stretching the boundaries of crazy on Facebook with, I hate to say it, but gullible boomers. You know I don't like blanket statements generations, but why are so many boomers following AI home cook accounts? It's so crazy because it's not even that the food images are fake, which they are, but that the recipes are made up. Like, no one's ever actually made this food before. It was just an AI system that came up with it.
Okay, so this one going around, I can't even blame it on boomers because someone my age shared this thinking it's real. So it's Rice Krispie Treat Cheesecake, right? Before you even get into the recipe at all, you can literally see it says melted chocolate for drizzling. There was no melted chocolate on that Rice Krispie Treat Cheesecake.
Now, I will occasionally scroll Facebook when I do my monthly deletion of TikTok and Instagram and my short attention span gets the best of me. But it feels like the wild, wild west over there with the insane amount of AI-generated content. Like, I don't feel nostalgic over Facebook, but times definitely were better when we didn't have AI granny baker making raspberry tarts that literally look too good to be true. Like, is this really the future of social media? It's starting to look like it. Right now, AI images and videos are very obvious to point out, but people are saying that they will eventually get to the point where they're indistinguishable from real content. And honestly, I feel like AI just needs to decrease the saturation a little bit and maybe add a little bit of grain and the pictures will be perfect. Like, why are all the images so shiny? Moving on, Pinterest is runner-up for the worst platform right now, as I'm personally convicting them of a crime against humanity for having like 90% of their content AI generated now. Like, people go there to see real life things to inspire their real life, and all they're getting is AI generated home decor, AI hairstyles, AI birthday cakes, where this stuff isn't even possible to make. Like, what are we inspiring? Delusion?
My mom showed me her Pinterest the other day, and it was almost entirely AI generated. And then I asked her, like, which of these do you think is AI generated? They all were, but they were all so convincing that she didn't notice. Understandably, it was almost impossible for me to notice.
It's just so sad to see Pinterest turn into a graveyard of ultra-saturated, finely detailed garbage. Also on that note, I am by no means an expert on AI, as you can tell from my lack of knowledge on the topic. I'm just a simpleton who uses AI to generate answers to my questions that I could have found on my own. So that's where I'm coming from. But one of the real concerns with AI is that it's once again pushing us to the average. The fear is that AI will take away the very thing that progresses culture, which is being human. The integrity of the nuanced and often unpredictable nature of human creativity is at stake. It risks being overshadowed and dulled by AI-generated content that leans heavily toward the average, reducing the probabilities of being exposed to the exceptional, diminishing the occurrences of serendipity, therefore potentially stifling the emergence of groundbreaking outcomes of any kind.
If you think AI is a blight in filmmaking and creativity fields in general, boy, do I have some niche drama for you. My boyfriend and his friends entered into the 48-hour film festival in Atlanta, and they made a damn good film. They made it into the top 10. Do you know who also made it into the top 10? An AI-generated film. That's what really made me mad. Okay, so my boyfriend was up for Best Writer. He wrote a damn good script. And you know who won Best Writer? The AI film. Just gives me the feeling that the judges are so far removed from the filmmaking process at this point that they just see the AI. They don't even really know how it works. They just say, oh, that is so cool that you made that. Also, the film looked like shit. My boyfriend wrote a damn good script, and so many people came up to him after the show and said, you should have won Best Writing. That's so fucked up. And that's all well and good, but it's the fact that the judges didn't see it. The judges thought this AI, whatever bullshit deserve to win, and for what?
Another concerning adaptation of AI on social media is the increase in AI creators. With the influencer market being valued at $20 billion in 2023, there's even more incentive to capitalize on AI on our socials. For quite a few years now, we have had computer-generated creators, which is weird, but fine, because they like kind of stayed in their own lane, because they were obviously fake, so they didn't disrupt anything. The problem is that soon enough, we're going to have AI creators that are too real, that we won't be able to tell that they're AI.
We're not real.
No.
We're AI, artificial intelligence, this whole time. Everything, all our memories, our families,
yeah.
it's all been fabricated.
I don't understand.
I know, me neither. Yeah. I tried calling my wife, you know, after they told us. I needed to hear her voice to know that.
When you think about it, it is a genius business idea, because you don't have to show your face. You just have to put a prompt into a system and it creates an avatar that does a little TikTok dance for you. There's no creator burnout. There's no getting canceled for bad human behavior. There's just profit. And it's crazy to think that all aspects of being an influencer can be done through AI now, from the persona, the voices, the script, and all the ideas for the content. Really, it can become a self-run machine where humans don't even need to be involved in any of the creative process. And at that point, not only is our culture being stagnated, but is being progressed by AI beings. What a time to be alive. As said in this article, the essence of the issue lies in this paradox. While AI has the potential to enrich and diversify our cultural landscapes, it is also steering us toward a more monolithic and less diverse world. It does make me wonder, though, if AI is pushing culture forward, is it even our culture, or is it AI creating their own culture? I don't know, that's starting to sound a little crazy, but also, is it not just the world we're living in that's crazy? Who am I to say? Like I said, I'm just a simpleton. All I know is that deepfakes are getting more and more realistic every day, and what even will the internet be when there's no human presence left on it? My hope is that we would prioritize the preservation of humanness online and overtake the AI tsunami, but that's just coming from an influencer who wants to keep her job. Anyways, that's about all I want to talk about on that topic. Now, for all of you saying, this is just a silly little internet problem, it isn't. The reason the algorithmic echo chamber of culture is concerning is because it's not isolated to the online world. With the amount of time that we spend on our phones increasing every year, the influence that the internet has on our real life is also increasing. From just the internet jokes that become a part of our daily life, yes, I'm talking about Skibidi Toilet, I don't even like hearing that come out of my mouth, but to the clothes we wear and the places we go. It's all influenced and controlled by algorithms and have become desaturated because of it. If we look at specifically the fashion industry, which I'm not very well versed in, but I'm hearing a lot of people talk about how fashion algorithms have changed the way we dress and for the worse.
I feel like TikTok has ruined the vibe, and I know I'm on TikTok and yada yada yada. However, I just moved back to New York City after about 7 years of not living here before TikTok existed. When I lived in New York 7 years ago, before that was 10 years in the city, there was a vibe. You didn't have all these people coming to places, bars, restaurants that they saw on social media, and they were like, okay, that's cool because TikTok said it was cool, so now I have to go there and I have to wear my slick back bun and my sambas and my TikTok uniform, and you know what I'm talking about. And it's like, you have access to all of these things. Like, you walk outside of your house and you're walking down the street and you can get inspired that way. So why are you looking on Pinterest, looking on TikTok to get inspired? And then you go out, like I went out last night with one of my really close girlfriends, and it's like everyone is a clone. Everyone is a clone. And I'm like, this is so lame.
I recently watched the video The Death of Personal Style by Mina Lee, and in it she talks about how personal style has become homogenized.
Style is not literally dead, but the sentiment holds that originality and authenticity are hanging on by a thread in the face of algorithms and Pinterest boards shepherding us all into wearing the same regurgitated microtrends.
I also see people talk about how they'll buy into the fashion trends and then find out that they don't actually work in real life, like they don't look as good in real life or they don't function as well.
This is the worst.
And this is because the fashion industry is more focused on its online presence than in-person presence. Along with that, we had the rise of the millennial gray home, which are now being blasted online and being labeled as boring, which is fair enough. But more importantly, how did every home come to take on the same gray-washed floors, gray walls, white cabinets with black hardware? It's because the internet has globalized interiors to look the exact same. And lastly, all the stores we go to even have the same aesthetics, as if having these looks is required to succeed in your industry. The brewery needs to have live edge tables and industrial bar stools, the coffee shops with their mid-century modern globe lights and white subway tile, and the independent restaurants with their maximalist style, color drenching, and organic shapes.
So is it over? Are we cooked? Like, we'll never again be able to walk into a coffee shop and feel a cozy vibe.
It's like there's an exact formula to follow when designing your shop, and that formula is based on Pinterest. We have algorithm bias to thank for industrial chic minimalism decor that has permeated coffee shops all over the world, the samey pop songs that are never longer than 3 minutes, and cult status TV shows that fade away as quickly as they emerge. Algorithmic culture is merging global tastes like never before. Rather than store owners creating their space to reflect their own individual taste and the people they want to draw in, they just comply to whatever the algorithm says their storefront needs to look like. The uniqueness that once drew in audiences is now being washed out to attract the masses in what is most familiar and comfortable. God forbid we're put out of our comfort zone. And I'm just as guilty of this. I don't know if I've ever had my own unique taste, as I've always been influenced by either Tumblr back in the day or obviously Pinterest now. You can bet I was looking up dark academia core when designing our living room. But it's all the same idea that if you ruffle the least amount of feathers, you can gain the approval of the largest audience and win the algorithm lottery. This is where we see the marketing pressures to be constantly online play a role in this globalization. In a world that requires businesses to promote themselves online, again with this idea of go viral or die, we see businesses are prioritizing their online experiences sometimes over their in-person experiences. Think of the ever-popular selfie wall, where a whole wall of a building is allocated to just taking pictures, an area that's taken away from the in-person experience just to post pictures online. Slowly over time, more and more of our real life experiences have been adapted to prioritize social media algorithms. Pantry organizing that makes it less convenient to use your ingredients but looks nice online, and skincare routines that look luxurious but are actually excessive because there's too many active ingredients that they cancel each other out. All things that wouldn't be done if it wasn't for social media attention. And one of the most interesting parts of this is that this sameness in culture isn't isolated to North America. It extends beyond country borders, where we can fly across the world and find ourselves in shops and homes that look identical to the place we just came from. Chances are, no matter where you are, no matter what the culture, you can find pockets of home wherever you go. Even more unnerving and dystopian, you can fly across the world and find teenagers doing the same TikTok dances that the teenagers at home are doing. In some ways, there are benefits to this globalization, as we can send and receive information from anywhere in the world, but the drawbacks include these blurred distinctions between home and faraway places. And as the internet allows us to reach these corners of the world, we sacrifice our individuality and culture for sameness. One thing that's so interesting about these algorithms that rule our lives is that we have zero control over it. We have no say on how they function or insights on how they work, because it's all trade secrets.
Let's talk a little bit about the consumers, because you've all taken on algorithms. Algorithms are a complete mystery to most of us on the outside, a black box. But how are our algorithms influencing us in ways that we are completely unaware of?
So I would say, even as a person who's designed algorithms, I'm still learning about all the different ways in which my day-to-day life is being influenced by a bunch of decisions that companies are making.
We have no idea, for the most part, what goals are behind the algorithms or what data is being collected and used. But we're so tied to them in today's culture that we can't escape them either. As said in Filter World, we are free to choose anything, yet the choice we often make is not to have a choice, to have our purview shaped by automated feeds. And so the real question is, how do we live in harmony with, but not controlled by, the algorithms? Well, for one, what's missing from our lives is real real curation, not algorithmic curation. Real curation is when we find things that we actually like and resonate with, that it becomes a part of our identity. This is what created distinct cliques in high school. In past decades, you would find your taste and dive deeper into it with the people who have similar interests. This grouping together would further cultural movement, as together they would progress their interests by feeding off each other. Before algorithms took over, culture grew by real people leading the trends and sharing unique options to suit individual tastes. There was no guarantee that you would love all the content out there, but the hope is that at least one thing would resonate with you. And the algorithm doesn't conform to this natural growth of culture because it doesn't allow us time to dwell on things. In the endless feeds, you get lost and swept along through content too quickly to even process it. If you stumble upon a creator or video that you really connect with, but then lose your spot, there's no way to go back and find out who that was or what the video was, so you're just forced to move on and forget it. And if things continue this way, they're only going to get worse. The more automated and widespread the algorithm becomes, the more passive we become. And the easier it is for us to fall into the grooves of the majority rather than making our own path. And as the popular becomes even more popular, we will reach a singularity where there's literally nothing new, which people argue we've already landed at. As seen here, culture is no longer made. It's simply created from existing culture, refined and regurgitated back to us. The algorithms cut off the possibility of new discovery. Algorithms are limiting the future to the past. And this is how we've ended up with a sort of hollowed out feeling towards ourselves, because we don't really know who we are or what we like anymore. So now I'm left here wondering how to end this video without just saying we're screwed, because like maybe we are. Prove me wrong, please. I would love to hear it. But it's pretty doom and gloom right now, in my opinion. But maybe we aren't completely screwed because we do have the capacity to make changes in our lives still. One of the most important things we can do for ourselves is to become very self-aware of what we authentically like and dive deep into those interests outside of social media. Find the books, find the clubs, find the resources to pursue those interests thoroughly without the help of an algorithm. Honestly, can we even do that though these days? Maybe. It's definitely easier said than done when in today's day and age we have such little free time and such easy access to quick dopamine hits on our phones. I'm not quite sure how to proceed, honestly, other than just like not be online so much, but how are we supposed to do that? As for AI though, my biggest advice is to not think about it, because we will inevitably be taken over by it, and we might as well enjoy our free will while we have it. Obviously a joke, but also, I don't know what's gonna happen. Anywho, if you want more optimistic, fun, positive videos like this, make sure you subscribe. I put out a video essay every month, so you don't want to miss it. But that's all for now. Thanks for sticking around to the end of this video, and I'll see you in the Matrix.
I asked it to give me a vampire tooth. Ah, goddamn it, AI.